Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie App, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, May 18th, 2026, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 38, the second paragraph. You may think our illustration through one paragraph ending with, but isn't it true? Comments on that one paragraph. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, for the 12 steps, Jim F., 12 Petitions, Lynn F. Reading the text are Robin P. and Jason K.P. And the backup, well, we don't have a backup now. The newcomer greeter is Penny C. And the host of the second hour is Hannah Yetta R. The reference number for Sunday, May 17, 2026, special edition is 23,465. That's 23465. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, not soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jim F. to read the 12 steps.
Okay, these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Jim. I will now ask Lynn F. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, Katie. Hi, everyone. This is Lynn Epp, recovered in Pennsylvania. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, the group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous, ever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personality. And I pass. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Lynn. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 38, the second paragraph. You may think our illustration, reading through one paragraph, ending with, but isn't it true? Commenting on that one paragraph, I will ask Robin P. to begin reading.
Thanks so much, Katie, for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. You may think our illustration is too ridiculous, but is it? We who have been through the ringer have to admit, if we substituted alcoholism for jaywalking, the illustration would fit us exactly. However intelligent we may have been in other respects where alcohol has been involved, we have been strangely insane. It's strong language, but isn't it true? Oh my goodness. When I first came in and I read this, I thought, I don't get it. Now I totally get it. And, you know, I've been hit by cars. I've been hit by buses. I've been hit by everything, you know, metaphorically speaking. And it just took what it took. And I always ask people when I work with them, are you willing to go to any length to recover? Do you, you know, I just pray that they've hit bottom. And if they say no, they're not, and I just say, just pray to hit bottom. You know, like, pray to get hit by the final truck. And, you know, it's such a miracle. It's literally a miracle of grace and mercy to get abstinent. You know, I had such a low bottom with the food. And at the time, I was so insane. I just thought, well, I just want to die thin. You know, wow, that's not a good goal. You know, and I just was so powerless. And it was such a life of Russian roulette. Just like the jaywalker, you know, just such Russian roulette. And it's so tragic, you know, until the miracle happened. And, you know, these 10 years here in Vision have literally are beyond my wildest dreams. I've gotten to live so many miraculous things. I've traveled so much. You know, we lived in Costa Rica for a long time abstinently, you know, and travel so much. I've traveled around the world abstinently, you know, done things that, you know, and now we're moving to London in September, if it's God's will. And, you know, I was on Broadway for a long time in my 20s and 30s. I'm now a senior citizen. I thought I was retired, and God said, you don't retire, your gift, go sing. So the way that I'm doing that is the way it's been recommended, is to get my student visa. So it gives me 3 years of my visa. So I am participating. I got accepted into a master's program for musical theater in London for a year, and then I get 3 years, and, you know, to go audition and sing if it's God's will. All this I get to do abstinently and in recovery, and be a beacon of light, you know. And I'm 35 years older than any other student who's ever participated there. And that's because of the grace of recovery. And I'm just so grateful to all of you and to God. And, you know, I just keep reaching up and reaching out. That's, you know, I always think of, I either, you know, I just get to keep growing spiritually. And that's the miracle of this program. God bless all of you. It's a very blessed abstinence, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin, for getting us started. Okay, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So if you did not share last Thursday or Friday, please give me your first name with your last initial and where you're from.
Lisa B., South Carolina.
Lisa B.
Julie B., Ohio.
Lisa C.
Lisa C.
Julie G.
Julie G. Okay, is that really true? I have Lisa B, Julie B, Lisa C, and Julie G. That's pretty funny. Okay, we can have a new name. Who else would like to share? Okay, well, let's
Tony
start with those. Tony B. Thank you, Tony.
Peggy W.
Peggy W. Okay, well, let's go with those six. Lisa B, Julie B, Lisa C, Julie G, Tony B, and Peggy W.
Claire R.
Go ahead, Lisa. And Claire R. Okay, now let's hold off. Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, good morning. Please. Yes, good morning. My name is Lisa B, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina. Thank you, Katie, for your service. Thank you, Robin, for your share, your lead share this morning. The word ringer really stands out to me. When I think about going through the ringer, being twisted, squeezed, stripped down, and, you know, that's what the disease did for me. I had to be wrung out of self-sufficiency. And I just think about the amount of time that I spent believing that, you know, I'll find some new way, like a new way of eating, a new way of growing spiritually, you know, becoming a better person, maybe so many things, you know, so much time believing I could manage this on my own, figure it out, control it with enough willpower, intelligence, or determination. I thought if I could just, you know, outthink it, or maybe just not think about it so much, you know, just but the ringer process was a very painful process for me, showing me that my way wasn't working. And while that process was painful, I'm grateful for, I really don't think I would have been able to come to A Vision for You, this amazing OA meeting, and listen to you guys. I would have said, you guys are way too demanding. You know, this is just unrealistic. But I think it was the freedom I heard in your voices and the promise. I was amazed that you were able to do abstinence happily. Like, if I just couldn't even get beyond that, because abstinence is really where my problem begins. I couldn't stay abstinent. I could get abstinent countless times, and I could put down key ingredients, you know, that were problematic, but then some other, like, volume would come up, or, you know, like heavy fats, or, you know, all kinds of things. So today I still need to remember that, you know, my disease would love for me to sink back into believing that I've got this all on my own. My recovery reminds me that strength isn't in an isolated self-sufficiency. It's spiritual dependence. It's absolutely spiritual dependence on the God of my understanding, growing, seeking that relationship, and then connection with my fellows and daily willingness. So thank you so much. I pass.
Okay, thank you, Lisa B. And now we'll have Julie B, followed by Lisa C.
Hey, good morning. This is Julie B from Ohio. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much. Love you, Vision. Love you guys. The reason I say I'm grateful is because I get to meet people, and I might have a radar that struggle with this and that are going through so many of the pathways that I went through to try to manage this disease. And it included the fast, the pills, the hiring different people, joining the different clubs, you know, just all of the different things that I tried to do. And, you know, that was all in Julie's will. Like, that was all in my own effort. I thought that that was the solution. And when things got really hard, which was daily, because daily I have issues in my brain about how to deal with life, like I would go to the food. And this reading says that, you know, I may have been sane in other respects, but food was a part of every respect for me. And so there wasn't a lot of clarity and success in the other in the other areas of my life, because at work I would escape into food. I would take longer lunch breaks. I would avoid work if I didn't have to be sitting at a desk and could be on my own. Well, there's no accountability for this compulsive overeater. I would go to a restaurant. And to think about all of the money that I spent on food too. So the area of my life in the money respect was out of management, was out of control. The amount of money that I would spend on my disease is astronomical. And no wonder I was having money problems, or no wonder I was in fear about money, because I was spending it. I was bankrupting my bank as just as much as I was bankrupting my body. And so today I don't have to live that way. And the way that I continue that on with this journey is to get on meetings like this, is to make my 3 outreach calls. It really is to do what has worked in the beginning for me. It's working with my sponsor. It's making myself available for service. And I am grateful because none of those ways worked. And I feel like OA works. It's a tough program. It's a lot of work. But it was also a lot of work chasing away the food and then chasing down the food. So I'm Julie B. I'm from Ohio. I love you guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Julie B. Okay, now we'll have Lisa C. followed by Julie G.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I am a compulsive overeater from New Jersey. So I think really what's striking me in this paragraph this morning is just this is one of those paragraphs that I think is leveling with me. It's talking directly to my disease. It's not trying to appeal in any other way. It's talking directly to my disease. It's like, okay, we supplied this illustration and it seems kind of wacky. You know, we agree with you, right? You know, we have to admit, right, that if we actually substituted alcoholism for jaywalking, this illustration would fit us exactly. In other words, like, we're not trying to diagnose anybody or tell them that they have compulsive overeating. We're just talking about ourselves here. We're inviting. This is just one of those paragraphs that I think really invites me in to show me that, you know, well, actually, I mean, maybe it's not going to show me. I mean, maybe if I'm not a real compulsive overeater and I'm coming around OA, I'm reading this and I've got so much resistance, like maybe it really doesn't illustrate me, right? But I know for me, like, I am really a compulsive overeater. I have a problem with volume, which I was in massive denial about for years in this program. And I thought that the food scale was just, you know, a thing I would use for a little while to get myself to understand portions or to, you know, be able to moderate. And this is not so for me. So you know, is strong language, but isn't it true? I mean, I can really see myself as the jaywalker today in a way that, you know, first coming into the program, I couldn't. I mean, I remember first reading the story and thinking, this is really just a little too far-fetched, you know, and I couldn't stop seeing alcoholism. And, you know, having grown up, you know, with parents in recovery and having gone to AA meetings my whole life, like even as a child, I was going to open AA meetings and saying, you know, the Serenity Prayer and singing One Day at a Time. Truthfully, you know, I thought to myself, but I'm not. Like, I somehow, you know, didn't get that. inherit, you know, I didn't inherit that from my parents. So I just couldn't identify in. And so I love this paragraph, as I said, for this gentle way that it invites me in without saying that I have a problem, but saying, hey, we've got the problem. You know, maybe you don't. And then by doing that, I think the language just cracks open the door. And that little crack is kind of all I need. That little rhetorical question, it's strong language, but isn't it true? It's like, yeah, I have to say, you know, it's true. I have seen some crazy things go down. You know, in my life because of the disease. Okay, let's be fair, right? Let me be fair here to how powerful, cunning, baffling it is. So yeah, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all of you sharing your stories because that's the way in. And I hope that if you're new or you're returning, that you're hearing something new today that's going to crack that door open so you can open it all the way and get all the way in here because it's such a relief. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa C. And now we'll have Julie G. followed by Tony B.
Good morning, Katie. Thank you so much for your service. This is Julie G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Pennsylvania. I love this paragraph. I love this whole story of the jaywalker. And for some reason, the first time that I read it, which was a number of years ago, I totally, like, it made sense to me. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, that's the perfect illustration of what this is for me. This whole chapter, really, I just have always found so powerful in illustrating masterfully the, you know, several of the ways that the twist of the mind seems to operate. And I know that there are many others. But the sentence that I have underlined is, however intelligent I may have been in other respects, where food has been involved, I have been strangely insane. And the, you know, finally allowing God to reveal that to me through my own bitter experience has been transformational for me, being willing to go through this whole process of these steps and learn deep in my heart that my body and my mind are quite unlike that of the normal eater. I'm not so sure that my emotional process is really that different. I do think that most of us as humans can be selfish and self-seeking and dishonest, and I have to be watchful for that. But what, you know, I have to be watchful for what my mind then does with that, which is that my mind says that somehow this thing that is destructive to me may be the answer. And what I have learned is what Fred tells us in a few pages. I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out of the window, and that spiritual principles will solve all my problems. Food is never the answer. And for me, God is always the answer. And as I continue to strive daily to build that relationship with God, I know that He will direct me if I seek and do His will, if I try to discern His will for me, just for me, not for anybody else. I don't get to discern what's right or wrong for anybody else. And so I needed a food plan, yes, so that I could arrest the allergy of the body. And now I need God for everything else.
That's time.
And thanks, Katie. I'm just so grateful to be here. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Julie G. Okay, Tony B., you're up, followed by Peggy W.
Thank you, Katie. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Scotland. It's good to be here with you, my family, and hear your shares on this. It's a great paragraph. And the word that sticks out to me more than any is the insane. And that's not of sound mind. And there are lots of ways in which I wasn't sane. The obsession, the compulsion, the lies, the deceit, the focus on myself. It's not a sane way to live. The self-pity, the fears, all of it is not sane. And it's not whole. It's not being one with God. And sanity also makes me think of being healthful, like, you know, sanitary things are healthful things. And yeah, I become sane as a result of working the steps. I'm restored to sanity. But am I still in charge in some areas, you know? And it's that the food down is just the start. And then it's this lifetime work of growing into health, my emotions, my spiritual state, my physical state, yes, but there's much more than that. And this paragraph also sends me back to Bill's story, page 7, where, you know, he meets the doctor. He's had it bad enough, and he meets the doctor who tells him what his problem is. And then even knowing the problem, he fares forth in high hope, the goose hangs high. He thinks this is the answer, knowing what he has, but it isn't. He doesn't have the solution yet. And the frightful day comes when he drinks again, just like, you know, the jaywalker going out into the road again, and his moral and bodily health fall off like a ski jump, and he comes back to the hospital. It's the finish, the curtain, it seems. And I just thank God that that Bill was then able to hear the solution from Ebby, put them together and create a program of action that does restore me to sanity. Once I'm at step 9, once I've made my amends, the food is, I'm the food, and then I've got the rest of my life ahead of me, and one day at a time I'm working this in order to grow emotionally and spiritually. So thanks for letting me share, and with that I'll pass.
Thank you, Tony. Okay, Peggy W, you're up, followed by Claire R, and then we'll open it up for more shares, and just to let you know where we are. We're on page 38, the second paragraph. You may think our illustration, ending with, but isn't it true, commenting on that one paragraph. So go ahead, Peggy W., followed by Claire R.
Hi, Peggy W. from Wisconsin. Good morning, everyone. I am so thankful to be here. I love this chapter also. And I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And I'm really grateful to be a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm just finishing my step 5. I did it yesterday, and such a lightness about me this morning, and couldn't wait to get with my higher power. I just am so thankful for my connection with my higher power. I, too, when I was in my addiction, felt like a crazy person. I remember the depression, the sadness I felt every day, the why couldn't I stop eating? I told myself every day, nope, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm done with that. And every day, once I started, I could not stop. And when I heard the word food addiction for the first time in 2024, I was hook, line, and sinker convinced that, yes, that's my problem. I am I'm a food addict. And so I was on a pink cloud for about 11 months, lost, you know, over 100 pounds, and lost my abstinence and was not able to get back on board. The people that say to you in these meetings, don't take that first bite, they're fucking telling you, don't take that first bite for a reason, because it's really hard to get your abstinence back. I didn't break my abstinence with sugar, flour, or quantity. It was quantities. It was abstinent food, bananas of all things. I could binge the shit out of a banana. I have a few days behind me now, and the support of my higher power, and I got to tell you, I came into this program an atheist by all means. I was not a believer, and I thought, what the hell am I joining here? Is this a cult? I'm not doing the God thing. I love the God thing. The God thing is amazing. Well, anywho, I am so tickled pink. I think I'm back on my little pink cloud, and you know, without that HB, you are not going to do this program, and without working these steps, it's a deal breaker. You won't stay abstinent. You have to get rigorously honest with your damn selves. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Peggy W. Okay, Claire, all Europe.
Oh, I'm giggling at that banana thing. I am Claire R. from Fairview, Tennessee, in recovery for compulsive overeating. I'm new to the program. I'm about 29 days abstinent. And I, as many of you have alluded to, I thought the Jay Walker section of this book was crazy. I'm married to an English teacher who speaks in metaphors all the time, so I kind of sat with it for a little bit. And then being on these meetings, I've realized just how powerful this metaphor is. I'm a newly married person. Lost my first husband to cancer and completely lost myself in food. And I think I've mentioned before on the meeting, I was so heavy. I'm a teacher, and I was on the floor with the kids and couldn't get up and had to have a five-year-old help me get up. He was a really strong five-year-old. But so I married an athlete. I married a runner, and he eats volumes of food. And I was a jaywalker by, you know, of course, watching the way he eats and thinking that I could eat the same way. And the amount of food that I was eating, and I've been in such denial about it. But this chapter and this program have helped me to see the insanity of that behavior. And I'm a teacher, and I just finished my last day on Friday. And in years past, I would celebrate with food. I would go out to eat. I would eat all the treats that the parents bought me. And I would just have this mentality of, oh, I'm going to celebrate, and celebrate equals food. But this year was different. It was about me looking in the eyes of the parents and the kids and asking them questions and truly, truly hearing them. And I think that's one of the biggest gifts of abstinence for me in these past 30 days is my connection with people is so much deeper than it would have been if I was thinking about the food and distracted by the food. And I really long for that. I'm struggling with self-pity. I struggle with that. That is a reoccurring character defect in my life. And so that's what I'm hating a lot this morning. But being on this meeting, I'm encouraged by you guys. And I'm grateful that I'm able to get up and walk. As I heard an elderly lady say the other day, motion is lotion. So I'm walking, and lotion is not only the walking, but it's listening to you. So thank you for all of your shares. Grateful to be here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Claire R. Okay, so who else would like to share that hasn't shared in the last couple of days on this paragraph? Page 38.
Michelle Boston.
Katie G.
Michelle M.
Anayeta.
L. M. Anayeta. Okay, who else?
Maisie C. from Massachusetts.
Okay, Maisie C. Anyone else? Okay, well, let's go with this list. We have Katie G., Michelle M., Hanayeta R., and Maisie C. Go ahead, please, Katie.
Hi, Katie. This is Katie G. from Boston, recovered compulsive eater. So grateful to be here and hear all the shares. I guess for me, I was thinking when I first came into Overeaters Anonymous, I was like, ew, Overeaters Anonymous, that is so unsexy. That is so uncool. Like, I would rather be a member of, like, hardcore AA or NA or whatever. And, you know, the irony there is, like, what I'm doing with food is so sexy. Insanity is defined as severely disordered state of mind that is extremely foolish, irrational, or I can't read the rest. But anyway, so the reason I wanted to define that is, you know, I've been in the rooms of OA for 20 years, and I've been pretty hardcore. I've done pretty hardcore things, exercise, bulimia, anorexia, whatever. Like, I've done it, but I think, yeah, I heard this speaker say once, it's not like the specifics, right? Like, because when I hear all your specifics, sometimes I'm like, well, I didn't do that. And what unites us together, what makes me feel a part of, is when I realize that the problem, the reason I go back from relapse, is because in a state of mental clarity, I believe that picking up is a solution to my spiritual malady, right? This is all about God. Ever since I was a little girl, I felt like I should be somebody else doing something else with some other people at some other time. And I was constantly looking for human powers to fix, manage, and control my life. And I have to tell you, like, y'all might be cured, but I'm not. I haven't ridden off into the sunset of recovered land and been cured from my character defects. In fact, hate to tell it to you, but I'm still severely disordered with my states of mind, right? Like, I look at the disease of alcoholism in my family, and I get mad when people act out in their disease. Or I look at my husband and I say, you know, could you have gotten me Mother's Day cards when the people that mattered the most got me Mother's Day cards? You know, it's like all the human powers that I want, like the moms, I want them to make me feel better. And it's the same thinking. And the problem with this thinking, although it can be funny, is that if I continue and I don't do the work of 10 and 11, eating will be a step up from my thinking, because that food was never my problem. Food was the solution that I applied to my spiritual malady, and thanks be to God, it doesn't have to be today. Today it can all be God, and I do it very imperfectly, but I'm grateful to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Katie G. from Boston. Okay, Michelle M., you're up, followed by Hanayeta R.
Good morning, Katie. Thank you. Michelle M., recovered compulsive eater in Arizona. And when I first read the Jaywalker, the absurdity of it, it was just, how could anybody conceivably come up with something that was so in outer space? And when I look at that today, and I take myself through the whole progression of the Jaywalker, you know, starts out small, you know, and then doing it again and again and again. And for me, when I look at my history with food, it was, you know, it was building up the anticipation, like the jaywalker getting to the street corner, and then he crosses it. And then it wasn't quite what he had in mind. So I'm going to go do it again, because I know that if I do something more, I will get the result that I want. And then I'm back again. And it could be a day-long process of that planning and the anticipation and romancing and getting seduced by that adrenaline that I'm going to get hit with. And it never worked. It never worked. So my whole process of the jaywalker is so spot on. You know, and when I look at it today, when it says, you know, is this absurd or is this insane? You know, it's not. It's not. It's the absurdity of it that gets us. I bet if I walked, I could be anywhere on the planet in a crowded room, or even like on a bus or in a grocery store line. I could say story of the jaywalker. Anybody in recovery would know what I'm talking about. So that absurdity binds us together. And it's so grateful, because it was at first a way for me to distance myself from, oh my God, that is completely crazy. But like so much in this program, you know, the dichotomy is that it is spot on and it gets my attention. The jaywalker is like skywriting in italics. And so the italics in the book, it's huge. And I'm so grateful for it, because I can see myself, you know, chasing the anticipation, the buildup, the result that's not what I want, and just the descent into hell, you know. And I'm so grateful to be where I am. You know, I look both ways. Happy to be here.
Okay, thank you so much, Michelle M. Hani gets the R, you're up, followed by Maisie C.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Katie, for your service and giving me a chance to share. Oh, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday, marvelous Monday. First, I want to welcome, I'm Hani get the R from Plano, Texas. Plano is the city I live in. I want to welcome all the newcomers that are out there, the ones who give their names, the ones who don't, people coming back. You should all give your names so we can greet you. You are so important to me. I love you all so much, because I can't keep what I have unless I give it away, and I want to give it away to you. And don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle. We all have a miracle. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Okay. Okay, the insanity and to me, it's the whole thing is crazy. It is crazy, but I was crazy. I was just like that. And I had surgeries to lose weight, because I couldn't bear the fact of dieting that long. And when somebody told me, my aunt told me about a surgery that could help you lose weight, I thought, man, that's the answer. I always prayed that I would be hit by a car and then lay in a coma for a year and lose weight, wake up thin. So this way here, I can go and have surgery and kind of wake up thin, because it was going to make me thin. And, I mean, that's insane. That, talk about being hit by a truck. When I had my first surgery, once a year after that, for 10 years I was having other surgeries, one of those being that I had to have it reconnected because I was literally dying from it. And they outlawed that particular surgery. It was in the 70s. And it because people were dying. And then I had two more surgeries, because these were going to teach me how to eat. They were going to make my stomach small, and I wouldn't be able to eat much. And I ruined those too. And the pain was so bad. It was like being hit by a trolley car or a fire truck. I mean, to tell you, I felt like I was being run over. And yet, it didn't matter. I had to have the food. I had to have the food. It was totally insane. And I'm here to tell you that I'm abstinent today, and I don't have those feelings about food.
And the other day I felt like maybe I was eating too much, and I just, you know, let my nutritionist know. I said, I think I'm going to cut back on this and this and this. I said, because it's just too much. And it wasn't too much. It's just my stomach, I guess, is just smaller, or maybe my age or whatever. They say you don't need more. No, don't need as much when you get older. I'm now 75. I've been in programs since 1981. And most of that time, most of that time, I've been abstinent and working this program. And whether
that's
here
time,
or
please, Hana Yatel.
Thank you so much. And I just love my life today. I love you all. Thank you for your service again. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Hana Yatel. And Maisie C., you're up. And then we'll have time for probably two more shares.
Thank you so much, and thank you, everybody, for being here. Great meeting, hearing what I need to hear. I've been coming, and I haven't been doing a lot of sharing for whatever reason. I don't even know. Maybe just feeling insecure. I've been in program for 26 years, and I'd like to say I've been absent that whole time. I can't. I was talking to my sponsor today, and she was one that it grabbed her right away. And I said, that's your gift. And my gift, I guess, is to struggle and, you know, help other people. You know, I have a lot of medical problems, and I still persevere, and I still show up. I do a 5:30 meeting every morning, a Christian meeting for food addicts. And, you know, I never felt good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, whatever. Never felt loved. Didn't have a father that ever once told me he loved me. And years ago, I was sitting on my sofa looking at the God at Gethsemane, and I heard the words, God loves you. And that turned my life around. And when I first heard about jaywalking, I thought, that's really crazy. Jaywalking. I would never think of jaywalking. And I couldn't put it in its right perspective. But then all of a sudden it hit me. I was jaywalking. I was living on the edge, just like a jaywalker would, doing what I wanted to do most of my life, with the food and with anything in my life, not relying on God. And I realized, after I heard the words, God loves me, and I said it, you know, really turned my life around. I was constantly dissecting, a queen of denial. I'm not as bad as, I can do this, I can do that. I don't need God.
Whoop, you cut out there, Maisie. Can I be heard? Hello?
Yes, you can be heard.
Okay. I thought maybe I got cut out. Okay, well, we lost Maisie, so we have 6 minutes. So who else would like to share?
Melissa S.
Melissa S.
Nicole S.
And Nicole L.
Nicole S.
Okay. Okay, Nicole, thank you. Okay, go ahead, Melissa. I believe you said S.
Yeah, hi. This is Melissa S. from New Jersey. So yesterday I had a drive to help one of my married daughters who is going through a really hard time. And I was driving for like an hour, and I looked on, called someone from the chat who posted they were available. And I find this phone call thing to be like the most amazing thing. I try to make 3 phone calls a day, and I find everyone is nicer than the next person. It's just unbelievable how, like, 2 seconds, you're just, like, in it with all of you, so thank you. And I spoke to her for, like, a half an hour, and we talked about, like, the insanity, and we talked about so many things. And then I was with my daughter, and I had a long ride home, and I was hungry, and we went into the supermarket, and I picked foods that were good foods for me. And then as I'm about to pay, I'm like, you know what? I want that muffin. And I got the muffin, and I'm driving home, and I'm eating the muffin. And I texted my sponsor later. I went off plan. I ate the muffin, but I'm okay. I was hungry, but I'm okay. And I felt like it was fine to do that. It was off, but it was fine. And as I'm listening to the meeting, I'm like, and it was insane. I had just had a conversation with hours before and listening to you and everyone else. And, you know, you don't want the food. You want the feeling. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted comfort. She's going through a hard time. I'm going through a hard time because of her. It's, you know, I just want to feel better. And food doesn't make you feel better. It's a total lie. So I really appreciate the meeting today. It just like hit home for me that this is insane. And someone just said, you know, if they're not living in, I hope this isn't crosstalk, but if they're not living in 10 and 11, and I'm not there yet, I'm still working on my steps for the first time after being in program and all different types of programs for 10 years and not doing the steps. So I'm like, one day I'm going to say that. I'm going to say it's a miracle. Wait for your miracle. So I really appreciate everyone being here, and thanks for letting me share.
Okay, thank you, Melissa S. And Nicole S., you're up.
Good morning. This is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado. And I was just thinking where it said, however intelligent we have been in other respects. And I really relate to that because there's, I have an allergic reaction to fragrances and chemicals. And, if a certain laundry detergent will be used, my stomach will break out from wearing a shirt. One summer I worked at a rafting company, and they would put their wetsuits in this cleaning solution, and my hands broke out in just these horrible hives, like pussy, just really awful. So those things, I don't touch them with a 10-foot pole, and that's just, you know, common sense and intelligence. But where the food was, it was a jaywalker for me all the time. Just keep thinking, well, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to hurt me this time, or, you know, this, that person, they'll stop for me. They won't hit me. And it's just an insane thing that I couldn't stop doing, however intelligent I was, and other things that hurt me every time. And I knew that and would stay away from them. But thanks to this program, thank you to my relationship with God above all else. God's the one that can give me the strength and put that hand on my shoulder and say, oh, no, not, you know, you're starting getting close to that street there. With the fellowship with, and this program can give me that sense that can, put it around, you know, things like my abstinence and things, actions that I can take. So I don't get, right next to that busy street where I'm going to wander out in it. So I thank you all for your service. And above all, I just really thank God for my recovery. I'll pass.
Okay, we have time for 1 minute burning desire. Someone wants to jump in real quick. Okay, well,
Mary,
let's just go ahead. Okay, go ahead, Mary.
Hi.
Sorry, we got Mary. 1 minute.
1 minute burning share. My name is Mary J. from California. I have the most, listening to the vision meeting in the mornings is a gift from my higher power because it anchors me deeply into my abstinence, and it is such a joy to hear all these pearls of wisdom, and it's the pearls of wisdom that carry me through my day. I'm right now thinking about my abstinence is my on-ramp to the freeway of a good, happy, joyous, and free life. And my abstinence is so solid because of meetings like this. I've been able to abstain from blatant sugar and gluten since 2000. 26 years of blessing day after day because of this program and my higher power and you all, this amazing fellowship. So I just am so grateful for OA, and I'm really, really grateful for the vision meetings, because this is a rebirth of OA is what I've heard, and it's a very powerful meeting, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Okay. So thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Monday, May 18th, 7 a.m. meeting, is 23,468. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jason KP please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, Jason KP here. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until